New two-part series today. Today and next week we'll be kind of digging into this. I've titled it Living Strong When Life Beats You Up. How many people need to live strong when life beats you up? All right, well, those two of you that need that are going to get it today. All right. Well, if you're like me, you have good days. There's not, sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I just know it's going to be a good day. And then there's other times when I get up in the morning and I just really want to crawl under a rock. I'm sure some of you can relate to that. And there are times when life is flowing really well and things couldn't be better. And then there's times and there's these seasons of life that just seemed to kind of beat you down. And I want to encourage you today. So the question I find myself asking is, am I strong enough to survive this? Am I strong enough to make it through? Or maybe I should ask you that question, are you strong enough today? Because I think it's obvious that circumstantially, life is going to beat you down pretty often, right? When that day comes, and it will come, when it does beat you down, how will you confront it, and how will you stay strong? And are you ready for it? Because it's coming. It always does come, doesn't it? And you might be in a very frustrating season in your life today, thinking, you know, I just can't do this any longer. I'm just not strong enough. I've tried. I can't take any more. I've taken all I can. But let me remind you that Jesus told his disciples that offenses will come and difficulty will come. In this world, you will have trouble. Did you hear that? In this world, you will have trouble. The reality is, if you avoid offenses, you avoid life, because it's just life. It's just life. Life is full of uncomfortable, difficult struggles, and there will always be the good days, and then there'll always be those bad days too. And there'll always be the days when things feel like they're just pressing in, but just remember that the good days are coming. And here's the thing, your ability to handle the difficulty will determine the direction of the next 30 to 40 to 50 years of your life. And so I want to talk to you today. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to turn there and just kind of put your finger on that, I'll get back to it in just a minute. But I read a quote the other day, and it says this: God will promote you to the level of your tolerance of pain. You might want to write that down. God will promote you to the level of your tolerance of pain. So it's like, if you can't handle it, he can't promote you to the next level. If you can't handle it, if you're just too sensitive, he can't advance you to the next part. And even if you've noticed this, even in corporations, you'll notice that the people who get promoted to the highest positions, they're the ones who can handle the most problems. And the ones that can't handle a whole lot of problems, they don't get promoted to the next position. You can't be an executive and not be able to handle the pressures and the problems. You can't be a manager and be weak at handling problems. And so I just want to kind of give you this picture, because I really believe that God wants to show you something today in his word. So really, when you ask for a promotion, what you're really asking for is problems. It's problems. And more problems. More problems than you had before. You know, the president, he doesn't get menial tasks. He gets piles and piles and piles of problems. That's what he gets. But he's able to handle those problems, hopefully. In Luke 12:48, Jesus says, "To whom much is given, much is required." So if you want to see God take you to new places, you have to be strong. And that's what we're going to talk about today, about living strong. And then the big question is, how? I mean, that's been the question I've wrestled with for a long, long time. I've told you in years past, I've struggled with depression, and when my days got low, they would get really low. And when my days got good, they were really good. But God has answered this question in His Word of where we find strength. Let me share one important point before we get started in this passage. And again, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. But we tend to depend a little too much on people, places, and things. And if you are relying on those things and hoping that they will satisfy and hoping that they will be the source of life for you, then your strength and your joy in life, it will all rise and fall on the behaviors of people, places, and things. And so when those things go away, or when those things fail you, that's when you'll find yourself in the deepest of pits. When those things are going well, you're going well. And so what we do is we attach ourselves to people, places, and things, hoping that they will sustain us. But there is only one sustainer. There is only one sustainer. And those things are too unstable, they're too fragile for you to attach your life to and make that your life source. Even people, even family members. So here's the one point I want to just make real clear today. The supremacy of Christ is the key to living strong. Keeping Jesus supreme. Everything in your life will rise and fall on this. And then you might say, well, Scott, what do you mean? Well, Jesus has to reign supreme in your life. Supreme is defined as the highest in rank or authority, or the highest in degree or quality. So supreme means there is none better. There is no greater source. Up until about 4 weeks ago, I stopped going to one of my favorite places to eat, Taco Bell. Nutritious Taco Bell. And when I went to Taco Bell, I would get the Burrito Supreme. Okay? Because it was supposed to be the best of the best of their burritos, which it is, by the way. But every Christian will have to settle this issue of supremacy. Supremacy. And what will reign supreme? And what will you build your life on, as the song just got through, we just got through singing? What will you build your life on? What will you put above all things? We always have to think, people, places, and things, we tend to think that they will solve our problems. Because we hold their influence in higher regard than God the Father. And we hold their influence in higher regard than anything that He says. And I'll tell you, it's a big mistake. R.C. Sproul says this, "Jesus is the ultimate in power, glory, authority, and importance." In Colossians chapter 1, Christ is called the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, over all creation. See, people, places, and things are His creation. And to turn to the creation as our source of strength and as our source of life is a big mistake. Paul goes on to say in that passage in Colossians, it's in chapter 1, verse 17, he says, "He is before all things," speaking of Jesus, "and in him, all things hold together." In him. So if people are your supreme treasure, what you will do is you will depend on people to keep you up and to keep you going. But when they leave you, then you're going to feel very empty. If you always think the place you're at will solve your problems, then when difficulty comes, you'll run to a new place, thinking that that place will solve the problem. You see what I mean? And if you think things will fix your problems, you're going to keep chasing things all of your life. If you think money will solve your problems, you're going to chase money. If you think stuff's going to solve your problems, you'll chase stuff. And so if you make these things supreme, what will happen is when they fail you, life will get more difficult for you. And you will fear, and you'll begin to worry more and fret more. You'll get angry and frustrated and hurt and depressed because you've attached your life to stuff and to people and to things instead of Him, the Creator. So Paul says in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, in Him we live and move and have our being. So it's in Him. It's in Him. In Him all things are held together, it says in Colossians. In Him we live and move and have our being. So when He is supreme, we understand this, that we will find life in Him, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 4. We'll find hope in Him. And today we're going to see that we'll find strength in Him. And so I just wanted to lay that groundwork because when He is supreme, we find all things in Him, and we turn to Him. And so when the finances get low, we don't turn to money, we turn to Him. He's the source. He is our Savior. Money is not our Savior. And when we have this urge that we need more stuff, we need to step back and go, why? Why? Why have I learned all my life to attach my things, myself to stuff? Why do I need more and more and more and more stuff? Why have I attached my heart to that? Maybe it's because you haven't attached your heart to Him. And here's the beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with people, places, and things. Okay, so don't get me wrong. They are important parts of our life, but they are not supreme. They are not supreme. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. So here's what's happening. Paul's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus. And in chapter 5, if you'll remember, Ephesians chapter 5 is really this marriage passage, okay, on how husbands are to treat their wives and how wives are to treat their husbands. And then it moves into children in the beginning of chapter 6, and that children are to honor their mother and father. And so it really just talks about roles, the roles of husband and wife, the roles of children. And then it talks about servants. And we can see these were much like workers today and the position of a worker. And so we see that in Scripture. And then he says this, and he finishes that line of thought. And then he says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And so so what we find here is that strength does not come from us. It's directed and it's directly found in Him, in the Lord, strength in the Lord, strength in His might. The strength of His might. See, your strength is just too weak. But His strength is infinite. And what does this mean? You know, have you ever seen those car commercials and they're trying to show the towability, or a truck commercial, and they're trying to show the towability of the truck, and so they'll have like a boat behind the truck, and this truck's kind of going over these hills and different things, and I got to thinking about that, and this is much like what the Christian life is like. The power is in him, okay? We're the boat. We're being towed. We don't do a whole lot, okay? Now, listen, I'm not saying we don't do anything, okay? But I'm saying in terms of strength, the power is in him, okay? We're just being towed by his power. Praise the Lord. Because our power is too weak. So he goes on, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, of his power. And he says this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And so the first part in verse 10 is directed at God, and we find strength in him. And then he says, look, you're going to have to put on armor that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He goes on, he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And you're going to have to be strong because the devil has his schemes. And this is not a flesh and blood thing. This doesn't. You think it's about people, and you think it's about wrestling with people, and you think it's about wrestling the things out here. But look, this is a spiritual battle. Your battle is spiritual, and it's not against people. And listen, most of our problems involve people, don't they? It's where most of our problems lie. So in our flesh bodies, we tend to think that the problems we wrestle with are against the people, against flesh and blood. But Paul says that that's not true. That's a lie. And if you miss this one point, you'll miss a tremendous truth here. Because we think our fight is against that jerk at work, right? Or that gossip that's always stirring up trouble. Or it's the loved one that just seems so difficult. Or that person that just can't seem to get along with anyone. But Paul says, know this, it's deeper than that. And it gets into a spiritual level, something that you can't see. And so you're not going to be able to fight it as though you're fighting a person or flesh and blood, because this goes into a spiritual level. And he says this, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Look, the evil day is coming, all right? Maybe today's not the evil day for you, but the evil day is coming and the difficult time is coming. And what he's doing is he's giving you, and he's helping you and I understand where strength comes from. Our strength comes from him. But then he says that there's something that you do. There's a role that you play in this. And I think it's interesting. He says that your role is to take up the whole armor of God. Who does the armor belong to? God. It belongs to him. And you're to take up the armor that belongs to him and put it on. He is the source, and you're taking up his armor and you're putting it on. And so Paul then, he gives this picture, this armor. It's really how we cooperate with God. That's what this armor is about. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on each of these points of armor. I mean, you can take this and run with it for months, really. But what I do want us to do is to understand he uses this physical armor of a soldier. And when Paul is writing this letter, he's actually chained to a guard, to a Roman guard. He's on house arrest, okay? And so he's probably looking at the armor of this guard every single day, and it's caused him to think about this picture of how God arms us. And so So I just want us to keep the main thing. He is our source of strength. He is our source of strength. And this armor is really how we cooperate with him and how we rely on his strength. So in verse 14, he says this, stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And so I just want to isolate two words, truth and righteousness, okay? So he's saying, put on truth. put on righteousness. We find righteousness in Christ. We find truth in him. You know, in a world of fake news, it's so easy to live a lie. It's so easy to get caught up in lies and believe a lie. We need truth. We need the truth of God. The truth of God is so refreshing. The truth of God is able to discern from right and wrong, to cut through all the fat and get right to the meat of the problem. The truth of God goes around the corner and gets right to the heart of something, okay? And so he says you'll have to put this truth on. The truth of God, it's refreshing, it's powerful, it's vital to your life. And the most foundational truths in the world are found in Christ. And if you are not embracing God's truth, your morality will bend in this culture. It's just a matter of time. Because morality is changeable. God's holiness is immutable. It never changes. Okay? What used to be considered wrong and evil in our culture today is acceptable and embraced, okay? And so what we do is we turn to him for the truth because he is our, he reigns supreme. We trust in the supremacy of Christ, and so we turn to his truth and we put on his truth. It's how we cooperate with him, and it's how we live in his strength. Do you see where this is going? It's how we live in his strength. So he says we must live in his strength and in his power or his might. And this is how we do it. He says, pick up my armor and put it on, and this is how you're going to do it. This is how you're going to live out this life and how you're going to face the evil days ahead, the difficult days ahead. Put on my truth. That's how we all get ourselves in line with him. The truth keeps us stable. It keeps us stable. The lie brings confusion and doubt and dysfunction to our life, but the truth keeps us straight on the path and keeps us stable. It keeps our hearts stable. It keeps our minds stable. And we find strength in the truth. Now, the next is righteousness. Righteousness, let me ask you, are you committed to righteousness? Are you committed to righteousness? And then you probably ask, well, what do you mean by that? Well, is it an important thing to align your life with the righteousness of Jesus Christ? The righteous life of Jesus. As we look at the life of Jesus, is it important to you? Is it important? Is it valuable to you to align your life with his righteousness? You'll never be perfect on this earth, okay? But is it important to you? Do you treasure that? Aligning your life with his righteousness. Do you aspire to be like Christ, gravitating toward what is good and right and holy and true? Then look what he says in verse 15. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So he talks about this gospel of peace. The gospel is the solution for our world. If you are frustrated with what you see on the news, I will promise you the gospel is the solution to those problems. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news of Jesus Christ, here's what happens. It changes hearts. And when it changes a heart, it changes a nation. Okay? When it changes the hearts of leaders of countries, it changes laws. When it changes the hearts of a mom and dad, it changes the household. When it changes the hearts of a teacher, it changes the classroom. Do you see this? How this works? And so without the gospel, here's what happens is we put our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's basically a simple way of saying that we have trusted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Without the gospel, we're left to our own devices. All right? But with the gospel, we align our lives with Christ and we live for his glory. And everything changes. And the gospel of Jesus Christ brings peace to your home, brings peace to the nation, brings peace to the city. Chicago needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dallas needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Los Angeles needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fort Worth needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of peace. It brings peace because it aligns people with the person and works of Jesus Christ. And it transforms their lives to become more like him. It's a beautiful thing. That's how important the gospel is. That's how important the gospel is. And so what he's saying is you're going to put this breastplate of righteousness on and pursue the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then what you'll need to do is fit your feet with the gospel of peace. And then he says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. I like what he says, in all circumstances. So in every circumstance, we apply our faith. Well, what is faith? Faith is trusting in the person and works and words of Jesus Christ and living it out. That's what faith is. I trust you, Lord Jesus. I trust in your works. I trust in every word that you say, and I'm going to live that out. And so now we have this gospel, and we are living by faith, and that faith protects us, and the gospel protects us from the enemy, from the evil that is around us. Verse 17, and he says this, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And then Paul says this in verse 19, and also for me, he's saying, pray for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And so he's, again, he's asking them for prayer, but let's just take a look at two more pieces of armor. He says to take the helmet of salvation. Here's what salvation is. Salvation is deliverance from hell. Salvation is deliverance from condemnation. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Okay? So we find life in him. We find no condemnation in him. Okay? We find strength in him. How? Why? Because he's reigning supreme. And so all these things are found in him. In him. And so when he says, put on the helmet of salvation, why? Because salvation gives you assurance and confidence that you are his, that you are a child of God, that no one, in John chapter 10 says this, no one can snatch you out of his hands. You can have confidence in your salvation. Salvation settles a restless soul. It brings hope and peace, and it makes clear what your destiny is and where you're going on your deathbed. And then he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's interesting, this piece of armor, he combines with the Holy Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, he says. The Holy Spirit guides us. We know that from John chapter 16. He convicts us of sins. He affirms God's word, God's truth. And so it's the sword of the Spirit. It's combined with the Holy Spirit because what we do is we cooperate with the Spirit of God and we live out the word of God. Okay? And that's just part of what it takes to live strong for the Lord. We're relying on him. We're depending on him. We find all our sufficiency in him. And then Paul says, he adds this in verse 18, praying at all times. I like to say this. Prayer is dependency on God. It reflects our dependency on God. Much prayer much dependency, little prayer, little dependency, okay? So prayer reflects or represents how much we are relying on and depending on God. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit. And when I read that, what comes to mind is when we're praying in the Spirit, I think we're probably doing more listening than talking, and we're doing more receiving than speaking. And so this is how Paul describes ways on in which you can find strength, and it's not just that God, he is our source, he is the supreme one, he's the one that gives us strength. But then there's a role that we play, and what role do we play? Well, we put on faith, and we put on the gospel of peace. We align our lives with his righteousness. Do you see how this works? And so this is our role in finding strength. All the strength comes from him. All the power comes from him. I shared this a few years ago. Maybe you won't remember it, but there's a story I heard. It's a true story of a wealthy widow in England at the turn of the century, the late 1800s. She was the first person in her particular village to receive wired electricity. So she had her house wired for electricity. And the people of the village down below, because her house sat on a hill, the people in the village below, they were eager and waiting for the lights to turn on, and they had never seen anything like that before. And so every night, the villagers would come out, and they would look on this hill, and they would look at her house to just see, hey, has the electricity been ran yet? And are we going to see this incredible thing? Well, finally, the day arrived, and she turned the electricity on, and sure enough, everybody gathered in the village and just stared at this house on the hill and its new lighting. The only thing that they had ever known was candlelight or oil lamps. And then the next day, they noticed that the lights were off and the candles were back in the windows. And the day after that, the candles were back in still in the windows. And the day after that, and the day after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. And finally, one of the villagers couldn't take it anymore. And he went up to the house, and he knocked on the door. And he says, is there anything wrong with your electricity? And she says, well, I just went back to my old way of doing things. I was afraid of it. I didn't really know exactly how it works, and I'm just so used to doing it the old way, and so I'd rather just everything be ran with candles. Now, I hope you can associate that story with your own life. You have a decision to make, to live in your own strength, in your own power, live the old way as a believer, or you can make a decision to trust the new way, which is what we just laid out today, to put Christ in the supreme seat of your life and live out this faith as Paul described it here. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for the message that you have sown into our hearts today, Lord. May we never be the same in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that I know in a room this size, that there's always someone just wondering what their next step should be. I pray, Father, that you will speak into their hearts and help them to understand how important it is to align their lives with their Creator, to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.